Well, hopefully you've got that Bible passage open, and let's pray now as we look at it together. Heavenly Father, we want to pray now as we look at this great chapter in the book of Romans, Father, that you might help us to begin to understand what it's saying. Please teach us new things today. Please remind us of old things, and please move us this week to live for Jesus. Amen. Well, Brendan was lying in bed still trying to get to sleep. He found himself thinking back over the previous day. He had totally lost his temper at work, and then when he got home, he snapped at his wife. It brought home again just how selfish he really is. And he thought to himself, well, I'm meant to be a Christian. He found himself asking the question, well, I know I'm meant to be forgiven, but sin is so deep in me. Will God really accept me into eternal life as I am? Brendan's question, I guess, is a question that I reckon many of us will have struggled with. We know that the truth that Jesus died on the cross so that we can be forgiven, our debt of guilt can be wiped clean. And all that's come as a free gift from God. Yet, we find ourselves still wanting to do our own thing. We can try pretending we're good, but if we're honest, we're rotten through and through. And so I want to tackle today this question. Can I be really confident of eternal life, even if I know what I am still like? Can I be confident of eternal life? Now, that is the question which Paul here answers in our passage today. In fact, the whole of Romans chapter 8 takes up this question. And he's been building up to this moment for some time as we've been going through the book of Romans, if you've been with us. Three chapters, 5 to 7, it's like we've been climbing up a mountain. And now, in chapter 8, we've got up to the top, and now we're looking out across incredible views. We find ourselves at the pinnacle of Paul's letter. The theme of the chapter is how, because God's Son lives in resurrection power, we can have complete confidence of eternal life to come. Just have a look with me at verse 1. It's like a headline for the whole chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, he's talking about no punishment, and he's saying there is no punishment awaiting the Christian believer. Now, condemnation is the opposite of justification, that big kind of Bible word. And at the final judgment, we will either be condemned or justified. We will either head into eternal death or eternal life. And Paul is saying that we can be confident of eternal life. It's like catching a coach to get you to the airport for that dream holiday. And as the coach gets stuck in traffic, you wonder, will it ever get you there? Well, Paul wants Christians to be convinced that the coach of Jesus Christ really will get us into eternal life. And that is because he is risen from the dead. Well, look with me today at the first three steps in what Paul wants to say in this chapter of Romans chapter 8. Number one, the Spirit applies Jesus' victory over sin. Okay, how can we be confident? Well, Paul's basic answer in this chapter is, well, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings Christ's resurrection power. Let's just follow it through. Okay, verse 2, Paul says it is the Spirit who sets us free from the powers of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now, we've been seeing in recent weeks in Romans how sin and death, Paul imagines as being like cruel slave masters, keeping us all under their control. Sin driving our whole lives against God, and death driving us to an eternity cut off from God. And what Paul's saying in verse 2 is that the Spirit sets us free from both sin and death. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to get us into eternal life. How? Well, verse 2, notice those words, in Christ Jesus. The work of the Spirit is to apply the work of Christ to us. So all that Jesus did for us as our Saviour 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit takes and applies to us today. Now, maybe you've never realised that before. Maybe you've heard about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, kind of wondered what he is and what he's about. Well, this is saying that the Holy Spirit never works independently of Jesus. It's never Jesus over here, God's Son, doing stuff over there, and the Holy Spirit over in quite a different place doing something else. No, the Holy Spirit's work in us is always to apply what Jesus does for us. And that's the pattern we see here. So look at verse 3. Here we get the work of Jesus for us. For God has done what the law, that's God's Old Testament law, weakened by the flesh, our human nature, could not do. By sending his own Son, Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. It's quite dense, isn't it? Let's just break it down. What could the Old Testament law not do? Give people life, eternal life. You see, the law defines right from wrong. It defined how God wants his people to live, and it promised life to everyone who does it. But as we saw last week, the law has no power to make people obey it. It relied on people themselves, the flesh, for the power to obey. But we in ourselves are just not able to live for God. It's why we've been seeing in Romans this world is so messed up. And last week we even saw that even if God gives us a new heart, we still don't have the power to keep his law and live for him. So the law then was powerless to give eternal life. But the good news of verse 3 is this, that what the law was unable to do, God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ. God's Son came into the world, taking on human flesh, taking on our nature. He became one of us, sharing our humanity. And he came like that to deal with the power of sin. End of verse 3. He condemned sin in the flesh. Notice Paul doesn't say God condemned Jesus. It says that God condemned sin in Jesus' flesh. He was condemning sin as that cruel slave master, killing it off, dealing with it once and for all. How? Well, notice that Paul says that God's Son came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He became truly human, but did not become a sinful human. He came into our twisted and dark world. He allowed himself to feel the pull of temptation, but he always said no to sin and yes to God. In fact, not only so, but he came to take the weight of all our guilt and sin on himself in his death on the cross. You see, we excuse, don't we, and make light of our wrong against God. And that's how, well, we allow ourselves to be controlled by it. But God's Son willingly took on the full weight of our sins on himself. And so on that cross, Christ broke the power of sin once and for all. No longer can sin have any claim on him. And when he rose as a new kind of human, free to live for God forever. And so why did he do this? Well, verse 4, God's Son did this in order that the righteous requirement, or perhaps it's better put, the righteous intention of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law promised life. Yet it was never able to give it. That was the righteous intention of the law. But God's Son, through his victory over the power of sin on the cross, is now able to give that life. What the law always longed for, a people who love God and have eternal life, can now become a reality. You see, Jesus defeated the power of sin for us. And what the Holy Spirit now does is to take that victory and apply it in us. That's what the verse 4 is saying, isn't it? It's for all those who walk according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so if you are here this morning and you are walking across by the Holy Spirit, know that the power of Jesus' victory over sin is at work in you. God's Son defeated sin and so death by becoming one of us. God's Spirit defeats sin and death by living inside us. Now, we're going to need to let this sink in, and we're going to see more in a moment on it, but just pause for a moment. I mean, first of all, it means every time we despair like Brendan and wonder whether we're really heading to eternal life, Paul says the first place you need to look is back to the cross. Look outside of yourself. Look back to Jesus. On that cross, Jesus didn't just take the penalty for your sin so that you could be forgiven. He also broke the power of sin. And he did that because he knows full well what we're like. I tell you, we might lie in bed at night like Brendan and think, golly, look at what I'm like on the inside. Let me tell you, God already knew that. That is why he sent Jesus to die for you. Not only did he deal with the penalty, he also dealt with the power of sin. You see, God will do everything needed to get us into eternal life. That's Romans 5-8, isn't it? So how, then, does this victory over sin and death work in us? That's what we need to ask, isn't it? And we're going to see more and more of it as we go through Romans chapter 8. But look next at verses 5-8, first of all. Second point, living as ourself ends in death. You see, Paul wants us to see that there really is no hope in ourselves, and God totally knows this. Verse 4, Paul sets up a big contrast. Two kinds of people who live in two different kinds of ways. Those who walk according to the flesh and those who walk according to the spirit. We've seen that, haven't we? Now, in verse 5, he makes it clear he's talking about non-Christians and Christians. Have a look, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. See, what verse 5 is saying, that our lives reveal what our minds are set on. The word flesh is Paul's way of talking about human nature. And we've been seeing, haven't we, in Romans, we've seen how human nature went wrong right at the beginning. We had Adam, our first father. He turned away from God, and that rebellion against God was stamped into his human nature. And our human nature comes from him all the way down to us. And so we are born in this world with a nature opposed to God's. And so those who live according to the flesh is talking about what we're all like without Jesus. It's what we're all like. Paul's talking about us as living as ourselves. He's saying if the pattern of our lives is just focused on what's next on the telly, what next to eat, how next to be entertained, where next to go on holiday, the next house we're going to buy, the next job we're going to get, then that shows our minds are set on pleasing ourselves. And that's a huge problem, verse 6. For to set the mind on flesh is death. Why is it death? Verse 7. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. If we're driven by doing what we want, what our sinful human nature wants, then we must be hostile to God, says Paul, because that is to refuse God. We might try to be nice to other nice people, at least, but the pattern of our lives will show that we actually, in our hearts, we actually hate God. Even though God is our loving creator, the one who made us beautifully and carefully and gave us everything that we enjoy, do we not, in our nature, do our best to ignore him, to push him out of our lives, because we don't want to listen to him? We don't want to please God, and even if we did, it would be impossible. I mean, look at verse 8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, when people try to be good, they will not actually be pleasing God. They may appear to be good in front of other people. They may be nice people, But because our nature is set against God, whatever we do must come from a heart which is hostile to him. I mean, imagine for a moment looking at through a telescope. And you look through the telescope out at sea and you see one of those old kind of wooden sailing ships. And it's a beautiful vessel. And this one has been kept so clean and tidy. But then you lift your telescope up from the decks and you look up at the mast above the sails and you see the flag which is flying. It's a skull and crossbones. What you're looking at is a pirate ship. You see, our lives may appear messy to other people, or they may appear neat and tidy to other people, but we are still a pirate ship. You see, by nature, we are all enemies of God in our minds. And all our behavior flows from that in one way or another. That's what it means to live according to the flesh. And this, says Paul, is the reason why living according to the flesh ends in death. For if our minds are set on the flesh, then we're hostile to God in our minds, in our hearts. And of course, there's no way God can let us into his presence forever. Instead, we must be cut off from him forever. It's what we've been seeing all the way through Romans. At the day of judgment, the pattern of our lives will be taken as the courtroom evidence that our hearts and minds are set against God's. Doesn't matter whether you've murdered or not. What matters is the pattern of your life. It matters what direction your ship is sailing in. And so verses 5 to 8 show us why there is no hope whatsoever in our own nature. It shows us why God must step in. God must raise us above our human nature. He must raise us above even what Adam was all those years ago. And it shows us why God had to send his son, verse 3, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He must take on our humanity to do something new in it. And so verses 9 to 11 take us to how that works and how Jesus can be our hope. Have a look with me at it. So this is point number 3. Jesus living inside us ends in life. You see, Paul has also been pointing, hasn't he, to those who walk according to the Spirit. If that's the pattern of our lives, seeking to please and honour God in all different parts of our life, then our minds must be set on the Spirit. And Paul says that ends in life. Now, Paul makes it clear, he's talking about Christians. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If you've got the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, living inside you, then God must have given you a new heart. But Paul's real point here is that the reason why being in the Spirit lifts us above sin and death is because the Spirit makes Jesus live inside us. Have a look very carefully at verses 10 to 11. They're absolutely key verses for getting the message of Romans. For if Christ is in you, although the Spirit is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He's talking about a Christian. He's saying, look, the body is dead because of sin. Even when we became Christians, we're stuck with our old human natures. It's what Brendan was realizing as he was lying in bed that night. Sure, we've got a new heart, so in our heart of hearts, we love God, but the rest of me is firmly set against God. And as we saw last week, there is nothing we can do to change that. Often we have this kind of idea, Christians often have this idea, that God is healing us kind of bit by bit. changing our sinful natures bit by bit to make it perfect. But think about the Gospels for a moment. When Jesus comes to heal someone of a sickness, does he heal them bit by bit? Is he waiting next to their hospital bed for months as they gradually heal? No, he does it instantly, doesn't he? And that is how he heals our sinful natures. He gives us a new heart in an instant. And then at the end of our lives, well, then we go to be with him in heaven, and then one day we will rise from the dead, and in an instant, the rest of us is changed. And so it means in this life, we are stuck with our sinful human natures. What Brendan was realizing is what the Bible says. But there is hope. And there is hope because we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. Because the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts from God through God's Son, Jesus Christ, we have the power of the risen Jesus inside us. Christ died, then rose again in God's power, and now lives in heaven forever. And now he lives inside us by the Holy Spirit. And that means that the Spirit who lives inside us will bring us to share in Christ's life forever. Verse 11, isn't it? What happened to Jesus will happen to us. Jesus was raised from the dead in God's power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will be raised from the dead in God's power at the end of history. Our natures will be changed in an instant. Don't you long for that day? Forever we will live with Christ because Christ lives in us and his Spirit lives inside us. Now notice very clearly that this hope is not in ourselves. It comes from outside of our human nature. It's in the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. But it's not our nature. The power is God's, not ours. Notice that very clearly. But also notice end of verse 10, what Paul says. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit in us is not just rule power of life over death. The Spirit is God's power of righteousness. Righteousness, as we've been seeing in Romans, is goodness. And if we are to live with God forever, we need to be made righteous people who live righteously. And there is no hope whatsoever in ourselves, even as a Christian. No hope whatsoever. Our natures are set against God. But Jesus died on the cross for us, as we've seen, and that was the ultimate act of righteousness. And so that act of righteousness is imprinted on his human nature forever. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose as a new kind of man, a new kind of human, a new Adam, you could say, the ultimate righteous man. He is the good one. And so the Spirit living inside us is the power of the risen Jesus. He inside us is not just God's power for life, he is God's power for righteousness. The Spirit not only applies Christ's victory over death, he also applies his victory over sin. Now, this is massive, so let's let it sink in. This is what the Holy Spirit must be in us if we are to be raised into eternal life. We don't just need God's life in us, we need God's righteousness in us. It's only when, you see, we choose to rely on the Holy Spirit in a given situation that we will be freed from living according to the flesh. Every situation we face in life, we have a choice. Do we go with the flesh, our own human nature, or do we go with the Holy Spirit living inside us? We always have that choice. If we choose the Holy Spirit, then what happens is we will honour God in that moment. And so the pattern of our lives will be different if we choose the Spirit. Every time we choose the Spirit, we will honour God. We will bear fruit for God. And so at the final judgment, we will be shown to be righteous people. It's not in us, in our nature. It's him who lives inside us. There is no good in me but Jesus living inside me. There is no good in me but Jesus living inside me. Have we seen that? That is what Paul's saying. The gospel of God is God's Son raised in resurrection power. And that gospel is God's power for salvation. Not just Jesus died for me, yes, absolutely. But Jesus rose for me and now lives in me in resurrection power. Now, it's why the great reformer Martin Luther talked about an alien righteousness. Alien not as a kind of space alien, but as alien as something which is outside of us. Roman Catholicism said, God gives you a new heart, but it's over to you to live a life pleasing to God. But Paul says, all our hearts do, our new hearts do, is cling to Jesus who lives inside us. The power is Jesus. It's Jesus who saves us from beginning to end. And so when we become Christians, we become righteous persons because he lives in us. And then every time I choose to rely on him and not myself, well, then I will honour God in that moment and bear fruit for God. And on the day of judgment, it will be clear that Jesus lives in me because the evidence has all been set out. And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit in me. He applies Christ's victory over sin and over death. All we do is cling by faith. So where does this leave us? Well, verses 12 and 13. So by the Spirit, say no to sin and yes to life. It leaves us, you see, with an absolute confidence, an absolute certain hope that if we live by faith in Jesus Christ, we're going into eternal life. You see, living as ourselves ends in death, but Jesus living in us ends in life. It has to. It can do nothing but that. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we too will be raised from the dead. It's unstoppable. We had the other week, didn't we, that illustration of a needle, a sewing needle with a thread of cotton through it. And as it goes down and up, so the thread pulls along with it. And so it is with Jesus. He smashes the way through his death and resurrection into new life, into eternal life. And he will pull us with him. What we do is we say yes to that. Now, what makes Paul so certain we will keep saying yes to God? That will be the kind of pattern of our lives. Well, we're going to see that in the coming weeks. We're going to need to see what the Holy Spirit is doing inside us. But for this week, we see the confidence that if we do so, that we will be brought through this life into eternal life forever. That is what Brendan needed to see that night. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is our champion. We thank you that he has conquered sin and death and now lives forever in resurrection power, power which is poured out into our hearts, power which means already we can say no to sin and yes to life, and power which means that at the end of history, when Jesus comes back, we will be raised body and all forevermore. And so, Father, we want to walk this week closely with Jesus. We want to depend on him through Bible reading and prayer. In every situation we face, we ask that we might do that, that we might walk in the certainty of our future. We give ourselves then this week to you. In Jesus' name, amen.